lesbian bed death.
Oh my God.
Did
yeah.
you see this post?
I've heard of this.
About how sometimes in lesbian relationships, they'll just stop having sex. Why are you calling it that? Who came up with that? Who was in the fucking brainstorm about lesbian bed? I thought it was like how like babies sometimes die in their crib. I'm like, these lesbians are dying. And but no, it's just like celibacy because you.
I would call that PTO.
We need to work on the branding. Lesbians, this is a call to action. This is a call to arms. I will help you. We have to workshop some of these.
We have
things.
To.
It's not working.
Lesbian bed death. It like stripped from Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Lesbian bed death. Oh, she's passed. It was a case of lesbian bed death.
Yes, no libido left.
Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the boys club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings.
Connor, welcome back.
I'm on Snapchat. That's my boys club.
That's your boys club. I know. I woke up to... So I still have Snapchat because that's how my mom sends us videos of the dogs.
Okay, tell her to add me, but I'm also nervous, obviously, because I don't know how it works.
So you got on Snapchat for...
Naked photos.
Of course. And...
Because gay men are still using Snapchat to send naked photos.
Yeah.
And I didn't
Which is kind of fascinating. I feel like an adult... I feel weird as an adult man with Snapchat.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, if anybody ever, like, on the train saw that I had a Snapchat, they'd be like, why do you have a Snapchat?
But don't feel embarrassed because all these people have Snapchat because Snapchat was like, here's all your contacts. But I don't think that the people that, like, I don't know if you're saving numbers out here, but, like...
I am.
Okay, I think numbers are not what they used to be because, like, we do so much, like, Instagram DMing communication now. Like, that's
yeah,
like
that's so true. Yeah.
So my contacts, it's, like, 15 years... of people that I went to college with and like had a drinking problem next to. And now it's like, no, I don't need to like Snapchat.
So
these
your
people.
Whole Snapchat log is like
it's
people
like
you haven't
Charlotte.
Talked to since college. Totally.
The vast
totally.
Majority of people I absolutely not talked to. People I went to high school with.
Yeah.
People that I was in 42nd Street with. Like it's not, it doesn't represent who I'm around right now, except for you. I don't know how you found me on it.
It popped up on my thing. It said Connor Jana joined Snapchat. So I said, well, obviously I'll add you.
Well, I don't like that. But I will say the messages that you send to me did disappear as a naked photo, I believe, would.
Yeah.
But I'm nervous.
Well, then don't send one.
Well, I have to. That's why I downloaded it. That's why I did it. But yeah, I'm. It's kind of like the last way to send a nude photo in this world.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well,
but I'm nervous that I'll post something and it'll be like, actually, this is Snapchat story.
And if you want to connect with my mom, I'm happy to set you two up. I think
I'm
she would love
I'll
that.
Send something that I'll say something weird by
Imagine
accident.
She sends a picture of my dog, you send back God knows what.
A nude.
Okay, good boys club.
What did I miss? What boys clubs?
Okay, my boys club for this week, and I can't believe it's taken us 100 episodes. Also, by the way, this is the 100th episode. That's crazy. Two-year anniversary. We're very proud.
I know. People said that we would never make it to 100 episodes.
They didn't think we had the skills or the schedules to do this, but we did.
I know. This is so good for people with anxiety. It's like you actually can if you just keep going and like bury it down. You'll make it to 100.
Yeah, you will. You just got to do it every day. Okay, wait. So, So I'm amazed that it took me 100 episodes to say this one because this is such a boys club that is so rampant in our world right now. But the NBA.
Wait, say the first one.
The NBA?
The first letter again.
N?
Oh, the basketball.
National Basketball.
I was like, men getting business administration
MBAs,
degrees.
No, not MBAs, but people with MBAs love the NBA. Because, okay, so men are obsessed with the NBA in a pretty interesting way. And I don't know everything going on there. I want to like dive into it more, but I think there's like, it's like the NFL is like hugely popular. Football is hugely popular, but it's kind of like, it's very rough. Obviously.
I think that the NBA is low art. Is that offensive?
No, it's high art. The NBA is high art. Well, the NFL is low art.
I said high art.
And that's why guys want to...
I'm worried it's charged that I said that.
Okay, we'll cut that out. Okay, but you're like, I feel like guys think that they're cool and suave because they like basketball. It's like all these white guys who are just like obsessed with the NBA and there's 80 games a year, so they're always watching.
Well, I don't like basketball because I liked going to sports games, but I was like, if we're going to go to this, we might as well be outside. So like, I was not into the whole...
You're not into indoor?
Yeah, no.
You ever been to a hockey game?
I do like those because it's kind of chilly.
It is kind of chilly.
Whereas a basketball game, it's hot and you're inside and the lighting's
bad. But a hockey game, though, is it's like 20 minutes and then a 20-minute break. And then 20 more minutes and then 20 minutes. It's the longest day of your life.
Well, what I loved about the basketball games was that they would have both the dance team and cheerleaders. So I was like, oh, my God. Women.
The Brooklyn Nets were stealing the show. Also, there's the Eternal Torches.
What's that?
It's a group of older people who dance, and they do halftime dances at the NBA, and they're called at the Nets games, and they're called the Eternal Torches. Or Timeless Torches, something like that.
Okay, we haven't had them on the pod.
Yeah. We also
I want to go to a game.
We also went to a game that was called Women's Impact Night.
What is that?
I don't know. I was like, what a weird... They're overphrasing like the way that they're talking about diversity. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't like
what does Women's Impact Night even mean?
Impact feels like high pressure.
I know.
I just want you to be able to be... It should be like women are here night. But they're here and there's no pressure.
The only person that was working that whole event was whoever is in the elephant costume doing the mascot because they were just dancing the whole time doing like full-on flips. Imagine doing that in a mascot costume.
The best job you could used to have as a woman 10 years ago was to be the hot girl that was on one reality TV show that now interviews people at basketball games.
I know.
Stephanie LaGrossa from Survivor. I'm talking what I think will happen with Maria from The Bachelor, which you're not following.
I feel bad though that every time they always make a woman be the person who does like the right as the coach is leaving, and it's like, coach, your team sucked this half, what do you think? And he's like pissed off and now he's screaming at her. It's like, why would you put her in that
situation?
Well,
they put her in there because they said that they wouldn't get close. And didn't someone tell us this on this podcast that
maybe this is familiar now?
Sports journalists are girls because men wouldn't get close enough to other men.
Oh, for you to be able to hear. Wow. A lot to think about.
I don't know.
A lot to think about. No, that makes sense.
That's science.
Wow. Okay, boys, quick intro because we have an amazing guest this week. For our 100th episode, we couldn't think of anybody else. She just had an amazing special come out on YouTube called Thought Provoking. She also just had her second ever Fallon set. Check both of those out. You might know her from Ride, the podcast. We love them. Please make some noise, boys at home, for Mary Beth Barone.
This is huge.
Welcome.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Congrats on 100 episodes.
Thank you. Thank you for being our guest for it.
I was honored to be asked, honored to be asked to celebrate with you. I am so happy to be here. And I love that you do pods like on the couch.
Yeah, we like to keep it chill.
We're sitting this way until we have to do video. And then we know we're going to have to like
and then
fix
we have
our
to
posture.
Get like posture. Yeah.
It's going to change everything. So I know. Cherish it. Cherish it.
Are you familiar with how rampant the NBA is for straight men?
So interestingly, I grew up in a household. We were a water sports based household and we were more hockey fans.
Okay.
Not
frozen
football,
water.
Not baseball. I mean, my dad, he loves the Steelers, so there would be a game on every now and then.
Interesting.
But it wasn't, and even baseball, we were Yankee fans for a bit, but it sort of faded. And so I feel like basketball culture, NFL culture, all that stuff is so foreign to me.
Yeah.
So it's very, and I have a British boyfriend, so he's really on the soccer side of things.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as football. But I was just doing some quick math because I wanted, because you said 80 games, right?
There's like 80 games a year.
But you think about there's 30 teams because I Googled it.
Yeah.
So that's like 2,400 games.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's crazy. That's a crazy amount of stuff to keep up with.
Yeah. And these guys, I think, are reveling in the fact that there is just so much out there that they could always be watching it. It really does keep you busy. But I feel like every guy. Like, that's something I'm realizing now. Anytime I spend time with straight guys, they're always talking about the NBA. And I'm like, do I have to know about the NBA now? I don't want to.
I think you can opt out.
I think I'm going to opt out.
I think you have a lot going on. I do have some questions, though.
Okay.
Is that your room?
It is my room.
You have navy blue sheets.
Is that bad?
And a thigh tattoo I'm seeing.
Oh, no.
So, obviously, we haven't hung out in a while, and I'm catching up on things.
I actually have two thigh tats.
Oh, my God.
I know.
You don't have to go that hard. You do not have to go that hard. I mean, they look great, but I'm...
Thank you. That,
okay, it's raising flags.
Okay.
I know you have a girlfriend, so that's obviously the beloved Maddie Peck. I'm happy that's still going because otherwise I'd be a little worried.
Wait, if it's any consolation, the blue sheets are from Brooklinen.
I know they are. I can tell. I can actually tell. And
they're
that doesn't
so comfy.
Make it better. That doesn't make it better.
Did you put that cover on yourself?
Yeah.
See, I got one from Buffy and I was like, threw it away.
A duvet cover?
I'm just not an engineer. I cannot put that on. Every time I clean. And it was pink. And it was like, I am actually kind of in a different place of my masculinity than I was when I got this.
In a worse place.
In a worse place.
Yeah.
Okay. What color do you suggest for our...
Don't say white.
Okay, white's high level. That's like,
I feel like I would get,
white,
I don't know.
What, you're, are, you, so, what are you doing in there? What are you doing in there?
Nothing.
You're, I'm sleeping.
I don't even eat on my bed. So.
And guess what? Jizz is white. Okay. So I don't want to hear any excuses.
Literally,
are you getting a fake tan? Because all these boys, boys being scared of white sheets is such like a, it's a false prophecy.
It's a fallacy. You're so,
I
right.
know. And guess what? If you're supposed to be on them, you wash them.
True.
There's an episode of Girls where Lena Dunham lies down in some man's bed and she's like, there's crumbs in this. And he just says, I live alone. And I was like, okay, I'm seeing.
And that's fair. I mean, I think like a starter set of sheets for a guy, you could get a pattern perhaps. It can be a dark color based pattern.
Yeah.
But I think a navy blue or a gray sheet, it's definitely like, it says something. Says something about the sleeper.
Target, dorm, Bed Bath Beyond.
It be beyond that, because that's like Jersey cotton sheets of any color is Target, dorm. I think navy blue and gray, we're talking, we're just, it's fuckboy. It's a fuckboy. A fuckboy sleeps here. You might as well have, you know how they have those signs? It's like Rangers fan parking only.
Yeah.
It's like fuckboy parking only. When you have that, you might as well have a sign.
Did you ever have one of those signs?
No.
Jessie had one that said Broadway over her door.
I did have a New York City skyline. And I also had a New York City, actually it's worse. I had a London trash can.
Wait, didn't you have the London?
And I had a London rug from Walmart. And it's like, show don't tell. My God.
This was your college dorm.
Yes.
We all make mistakes.
When you
in
live in North
dorm.
Carolina, you have to be like really, you have to really be like, no, there are other places.
Escapism, if you will.
Exactly.
You every step onto the floor and you're out. In London.
I know. It's like the floors were linoleum, but then over it was like a London telephone booth as the entire rug. And it was in a frat house.
It's called interior decorating.
You were just, I won't say what, you were just out of town for a little
while.
We
can talk about it because it's fine.
Okay, you were on a cruise doing,
it was literally amazing,
doing comedy for gay men.
And I would do it again.
And I was a bit worried about you.
Yes.
Just because you're sober and you were at sea. But I did say to Maddie, I just think there's nothing he can't get through. You are so scrappy.
I was catcalled for the first time, which is nice. I don't know why people are so upset about that. I was like, a man screamed to me. He said, I want to put it in your box. I know. It's when you remove women.
That's a confusing,
it's like,
catcall on a gay cruise.
Yeah.
Do you guys call that? Do you call it a box? Because if so, that's news to me.
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't know that we did until I was flattered by that. Wait, that's my butt, right?
It's boxes is vagina. Pussy. Yeah, vagina.
Okay, so I was misgendered on this cruise. Is that bad that I said that?
It comes out that you did my material on the cruise.
Nico, I like
the honestly,
sure
the perfect crime. The perfect crime.
Wait, what if I got out there and be like, there's no way they even know a trans person? And then I was like, they're going to love this. They're going to fucking love this.
That's so funny.
They didn't like anything I said about punching a cop. They really hated those jokes. Mm. And I was like, I didn't
Middle
realize.
America's not ready for a cop hate speech yet.
I know.
It's coming, but it's not yet.
They know too many.
Yes.
Give it a few years. A lot of their brothers, dads, husbands.
These boys
even on a gay
blue.
Cruise.
Yeah.
I know. You realize the vibe was, and I mean, this is everything I say is positive. It was 42-year-old open relationship from the Midwest looking for a third at sea.
Oh.
So that was kind of what I was on a ship with.
Which is a tough dynamic to start a comedy set in, because it's like they're already really focused on other things. This
but
is not what they're
loved
here for.
Anything I said about sex, they like loved the sex stuff. And it was like, well, I don't have a ton of that because I'm sex mid, not positive, not negative, just mid, neutral.
Neutral,
I'm,
yeah.
And I'm like, I'm glad it's happening and I want you guys to have it, but I don't have much to say about it.
It's good to do these things to experience like adjusting during, because like this will continue to happen to us, like going into new places where you have to pivot, but like it always is jarring the first time when you're like, oh fuck, I guess I'm out here for, I also don't think I would want to be on a contained area with everybody that was at the show.
Yeah, that's not, unless they're all giving me compliments, that's not fun.
Wait, I just say the most vulnerable thing, and you can't think any differently of me after I say this.
Okay.
When someone did come up to me in the cafeteria, yes, low security prison, and I was eating a fruit cup. Wait, this is actually so vulnerable. He said, you can't think less of me.
Well, we won't.
I can't fathom what this will be.
He said, I really liked your set. I could tell, oh my God, I could tell that you were building your confidence.
No.
And I was like, literally open the window.
No, add that to the list of things people say after sets that they don't realize is like the most devastating thing you could possibly hear.
Somebody told me the other day, keep going.
No, you were I great. Love when Keep they going. Go when they go, I thought that joke was funny, but no one else laughed. It was so weird. It was like dead silent. You could hear a pin drop. Jessica Kirsten actually has a really, really funny bit about that in her Comedy Central special. But it's like they don't know. They're being supportive.
Yeah.
But it's also like it's just devastating.
It is.
And it's like a feeling you really don't, you can't, there's no like adjective to describe the feeling. In this language.
Yes, there's a German word for feeling absolutely shitty. I'm sure
there's a German word for it, but yeah.
Another woman one time named Dina was like, you have gotten so much better.
No. Like, fabulous. Yeah.
This is why you can't be doing a show for multiple people, like on the same, you can't be keep running into them.
It is really hard.
And like have them come watch
you
again
and again. How many sets did you do?
Four. And then you would kind of have a day off to like do a postmortem.
And then what? And then it's over?
And then, yeah. And then you would just sort of tan all day. We would dock in these places. But the thing is, it would be like Natalie Holloway's Aruba. And it would be like, you would just sort of like, it was like Fyre Festival a little bit. And that you would like get off the boat and be like, we're in a parking lot. Like, we literally like, because you're not in a hotel. Like, there's not a resort. And right. Like, you could go to the beach, but it's like, you're actually, I was going to say, but you're alone. And I think that might have actually been a personal problem.
Yeah. I feel like maybe next time if you can get someone to go with you, that would enhance the experience.
I tried to get my dad to come with me, but I actually think that like it would have been just like more humiliating to like be bad in front of my dad. Cause like
I would pay so much money to see his experience on a gay cruise.
That's the kind of thing that one day you would say to like on a late night show, you'd be like, oh, I took my dad on a gay cruise. And they'd be like, yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the other boy? Oh yeah. Snapchat. Did you ever use?
I was a big Snapchatter in like 20, probably 17.
Yeah,
but then
peak Snapchat.
When Instagram stories launched, I was very anti Instagram stories. But then it was so much more like discoverable on Instagram. Like yeah. Snapchat, it was hard. They didn't have like Snapchat TV or whatever they have now where you can like upload like specific Snapchat content. But I used to like, yeah, I would, when I worked at SoulCycle in the studio at Soho Studio, which is now closed, I used to, you know, document my day, waking up at 4:30 in the morning. It's still dark out, walking to work alone. So cool. And then, yeah, I was big into it. And then it just sort of fizzled for me. But I know it's huge for the young people and I'm happy that they have a place they can go. I will also say for all the adults listening, on WhatsApp, you can send single view images.
Oh,
so it's an option.
So it's like WhatsApp is for my work and Snapchat is for Nico's mom. And then both of them, I might be sending naked photos.
Right. So it's just important to keep track of where you are.
Yeah.
Do you send naked photos?
Yeah. I have a long distance relationship.
That's ultimate trust.
I would hope so. After 4 years. Yeah. No, I totally trust him with my nudes. Yeah, I trust him with a lot. So
yeah,
it's just good to build that trust.
I feel like Snapchat, I don't know anybody, I mean, other than gay men, I don't know anybody our age who uses it. Other than my mom.
Who is our age?
Yes, she famously is my age.
I know tons of people that apparently do use it that I was in 42nd Street with that are my age. Like it was the list of your ghost past.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do have a friend who like when we were talking about like, oh, when Threads came out, we were like talking about, I was talking to some of my friends from college and just like, do any of you guys care about this? Because obviously I think we like see it as another way to, you know, get our stuff out there. So I'm like, I think we're oversaturated with people who would use it. And so I was like, okay, do any of you give a fuck about this? And they were like, no. And one of my friends was like, the only social media apps I use are Instagram, Facebook, and Snapchat. And I was like, what world are you
that's
living
really
in?
That's really confusing.
I know.
That's life outside the binary.
She's a Republican, so that's
okay,
kind of
okay, well, that makes sense. I wish I could harness the power of Snapchat. I know a lot of teens, Gen Z, that's their main method of communication. You get a Snap score. It's like, people have scores in the millions, I'm hearing. I don't know.
That's
it's
wild.
It's just, it's a currency that I, unfortunately, it's too late in life for me to get involved in.
Yeah.
There was a moment where it was very cool and Snapchat was going to be the next big thing for the news because I was working the Iowa caucus back before that was defunct and it would be like an Iowa caucus national story and you could like submit to it and then I was on it and it was like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
I remember those. Yeah, you know what was
that's
devastating
covered things.
Now that I'm remembering this, when you said the streaks and like the scores and stuff, I remember like the horrible feeling of having like a Snapchat streak with like a crush or somebody you were in a relationship with and then breaking up and then watching it like give you the timer that's like it's running out, like you haven't sent a Snapchat.
My God, that's, yeah,
and you can't send one because you broke up and you're just like watching your relationship dwindle in front of you. How sad.
That is sad. It feels very tangible.
Yeah.
Also, when Kylie Jenner tweeted, like, I think I'm going to get off Snapchat, and then the stock tanked. You guys remember that?
Yes. It's amazing their power.
they are the economy.
I know. If Taylor Swift decided to get on Snapchat, it would change
overnight.
It would
change everything.
Yeah.
I want Taylor this year to harness her power. I'm not going to say how. I think some people could probably guess, but I think it's our one hope, really.
I think so too. I'm interested to see if she gets involved at all.
She did tell people to vote.
That's good.
A few weeks ago.
They were
which
mad
was
at
cool.
her for that.
Who?
They get mad at her. They get mad at her. Yeah. Fox News got mad at her. Sometimes I watch Fox News to feel alive.
My TV sometimes, like, because it's a smart TV and I don't really use the channels.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, if I'm playing music and then I leave the house and when I come home, it's just automatically defaulted to Fox News, which I've never turned on by my own volition.
That's because of where you live. And I'm not going to say it. Yeah, but you live in the Republican Party.
I do not.
If they had a polling place down there, you should get it shut down. Like, that is...
if they have a polling place.
You know what? You might be right, but I think... Yeah.
You have
I don't
to make
know.
The change.
I have to use a VPN to tell my TV that I'm somewhere else. and then it'll default to, I don't know, CNN.
At the Equinox, they've been playing Fox News.
What?
I know. I swear to God. I almost complained.
Wait, you should definitely say something.
And this was the Equinox where I found that Chanel necklace with the lock on it. I know.
And you gave it in.
Well, I didn't know what... I gave it in and the woman gasped in a way where I was like, didn't realize I was supposed to keep this. But I was like, I can't walk around with this. Wait, also, when I was in this other country called Curacao, I got this... You might know what this is. I got this like stem cell eye cream. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this?
Why? What's the name?
Well, that's the thing. It's like Stem Talks, and it's for sure a scam, and it's $1,500 on the internet, but they gave it to me for $200, and they gave me a QR code to get another one that I'm going to have to send to my parents' house for me, but for safekeeping. But when I was walking out, they were like, oh, you forgot your bag, but it was in my bag. And for a second, I took it, and then I was like, this isn't my bag. And it's like, learn to lie.
No, it's better. If everyone was okay with doing stuff like that, like leaving and not saying anything, I think the world would be a much worse place. So
yeah.
Your little acts of resistance are really important.
I also think
karma.
That the place to break a law like that is not a foreign place you've never been to.
Agreed.
As a gay
what
man.
If that? What if that bag had weapons in it or something?
Well, the entire time you're just like, what if, like, I know it's not Russia, but like, things happen.
Well, you just like, people get taken. Obviously we can't trust the government or the police here, but at least we know what they're going to do. We have some semblance of what the law is or like how to like get access
Miranda
to,
rights.
You know,
I don't know my Miranda rights in Curacao.
I don't either.
Honey.
Do they even have them?
I don't know.
We don't know.
And you don't know because you were honest. You gave the bag back. What if it had stolen rubies in it? You know what I mean?
We would all be richer right now.
You would not be doing episode 100 of Boys Club. I can tell you that.
We would be on video. Wait, my dad offered to give us a camera for our 30th. That for my birthday and no offense.
It's the level of disrespect.
Drama over
you don't
there.
Know how much better drama. Your life's gonna get when you're not in your 20s anymore.
I look like your babysitter. Do you know what I mean? You look incredible. But he was like, I'll buy you guys cameras. I was like, Dad, that's not the issue. It's not a money thing. It's like a confidence
He's known
thing.
You for decades and he thinks the what's holding us back is purchasing power.
I was like, I have jaw filler. Like it's not money. We'll buy anything that we need in the moment.
Oh my God. Okay, do you have a boys club you wanted to talk about today?
I was thinking about this. I feel like the boys club I've been chomping at the bit to discuss in a public forum somewhere, and this feels like the right place, is restaurant kitchens.
Yes.
Is that okay to say?
Absolutely.
Has that been done before?
No, we actually haven't had that one.
I was thinking about how peaceful kitchens probably were when it was just sort of moms running the show.
Yeah.
Moms and staff, you know, if you're at a manor or something. And now how boys clubs are like restaurant kitchens are just so scary.
Yeah.
They're making food. I don't know. Call me crazy, but making food shouldn't be like that. I don't know. I really, and this is like no disrespect to those that create toxic work environments. But to me, I'm just like, how about we just like stop doing that?
Yeah.
Do you think the bear is part of the problem?
I think it's going to make it worse.
I think if, look, you can see it two ways. You can see it as a glamorization of something like that, or you can see it as it's a kitchen where they're trying to make positive change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think it's probably better to shine a light on it, but not glamorize it. So I just want people to be happy at work.
Yeah.
Because we have to do it.
Yeah, that's so true. I didn't even think about the fact that like the demographic of a kitchen has probably changed significantly over the last couple decades or half century. And like it is like, not to get back to my thigh tattoos, but it is giving like chef fuckboy energy now, especially like, and I think Carmi's character in The Bear is not helping that, like, he's a heartthrob and that's just going to like make more guys want to do that.
I know.
Wait, is that one? That's Jeremy?
Yeah.
You said he wasn't hot one time.
I didn't say he wasn't
changed
hot.
Changed your tune.
Well, okay.
Because I was shocked by it.
I just thought, I was like, okay, this is another,
I've been in love with him ever since Shameless. When I believe he showed peen, but I'm not positive. But I think he did.
Fact check that. You have a fact checker, right?
Yeah.
Who could get on that?
We can get on that.
Can you Google Jeremy?
Google Jeremy Allen White, comma, Shameless, comma, peen.
Speaking of Edward, I was with him the other day and we were talking about the, apparently he went to whatever store where they sell the white t-shirt that he wears in The Bear. Mm-hmm. And he was like they were in the store and this guy walked in and the attendant was like, can I help you with anything? And the guy like very shamelessly was like, do you have the shirt from The Bear? And they were like, yeah, we do, obviously. Yeah, and there's like a huge picture of Jeremy Allen White like wearing the shirt where they sell it.
How much money?
I don't know. Hundreds,
I'm sure. Funny because it's sort of like when I see something on a celebrity and I'm like, oh, I should get that. And it's like, well, it's not going to look like that on me just because it looks like that on Emily Ratajkowski. And like, especially, there's some fundamental differences.
It's also especially on... like on screen, it's like you don't have no idea what the production has done to make this fit his body in the exact perfect way. Like,
or
it'll
what
just...
his body has done to fit the shirt.
True, true.
But you know what? I think boys being into clothes is part of how we heal.
It's true.
I think it's good for healing. It is society. True. Men being open about liking clothes, that's gonna do a lot.
I can't tell if it's because I'm an adult or if times are getting better. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, if like adult men have always been more interested than like teen boys, like in how they look. But it does feel like my brother sort of cares, and he's 18.
I was gonna say it's a New York thing, but he's in Georgia, so
yeah,
maybe it's all.
I think it's cultural, and it's due to the internet.
But it's unfortunate when when boys in the South like care about what they wear. They're still wearing like what is cool down there, which is not. It's
no,
not good.
Men on this cruise are wearing boat shoes. And I was like, I didn't realize. I mean, I was there in Nike blazers. I was like, I didn't realize that I'm dressing homophobic. Like, I didn't mean to do that. And now I worry that they think I'm
but
code switching.
But to you, boat shoes are homophobic. To them, Nikes are homophobic. Isn't that kind of interesting?
I know.
You were both wearing gay. The uniform of the oppressor.
I like almost came out in Birkenstocks.
And it's like,
night.
Let's put the guns down and hold hands.
Let's just lay the weapons down.
Put it in my box.
Let's have a laugh. Yeah. Everything. I wish I was like feeling better about the future.
Yeah. It feels really unstable all the time. I'm feeling like I don't know if it's because I'm an adult now and I'm like able to, I don't know, see things more clearly. My frontal lobe has like fully developed to those kinds of things, or if like shit is really as like chaotic and uncertain as it ever has been. But I don't know how you guys feel, but.
Well, so there's always going to be someone that says, actually, we've always gone through phases of instability and stability, and this one will come back. But it does feel like perhaps that this like trigger that we might pull in the election is like, well, that one feels hard to come back from.
Yeah.
I was watching a video, and I don't want to depress the listeners too much because we're here to celebrate. But it was like, you know, the Supreme Court will be stacked even more towards Republicans, and Trump would be in charge of like, you know, all the other houses of government and stuff like that to create effects that will last into, you know, our grandchildren's lives, essentially.
Jesus Christ.
So let's vote. I hope everyone listening to Boys Club, imagine like if they didn't vote Democrat, but you just don't know. I'm hearing a lot of people want to vote for third party this year.
Yeah.
I don't have the privilege to do that. I don't know if anyone in this room does,
yeah.
But I want to vote for not Trump, but someone who could win. I'm sorry. It's going to be Biden.
Yeah, I know. It sucks.
I think is reflective of, that's an age thing. I think the younger, okay, I'm almost 30. I do think the younger people are very much like, they're all bad and they're all the same. And it's like, they're not the same.
They're not the same.
But that really is very much same. Like a...
It's also good. Like, okay, obviously, like, Biden has done horrific things in Gaza and has, like, is... like, it's fucked. We're in between a rock and a hard place. We were there 4 years ago. We'll be here again. We don't have... In 11 months, no less, whatever, how many months it is till, we don't have enough time to organize adequately, I don't think, to actually... have a third party voter.
A third party cannot win.
Right.
That's
they never
what the
have.
Electoral college exactly. is for. It's yeah. like third party is great. Like if you're, you know, an idealist or God forbid a libertarian, but it's like, it's just, they literally, they can't win.
Yeah.
So it's like, you just stop. Just stop being childish.
Yeah.
It's just like, stop.
And yeah, I think people aren't like also thinking about just like the ramifications it would have for so many people
domestically.
Also,
I know, yeah, we want to think border. On a global level. And I get that. I totally get why people don't want to vote for Biden. I saw Bernie's video that I thought was very compelling. And then I read the comments and I was like, no, you guys, what are you doing?
Yeah.
People were like, no, we're voting for RFK, blah, 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 blah.
RFK?
Like,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Cheryl Hines to the White House.
Oh, it's really tough. I am stressed. I have to say I'm stressed. I feel like it's like, I just can't believe we have to do this now for, it's not 11 months, but it's going to feel like 11 months.
Yeah.
It has felt like it just hasn't ended, like even since the last presidency.
Seriously.
So it's just a lot.
It's been fallout for the last, like, yeah, like it feels like 8 years of just, and it's going to be four more of what, either way, it's going to be four more of craziness.
And you know what fucking sucks? I didn't even enjoy the Obama years. I wasn't even fully liberal yet. I didn't enjoy it. Didn't enjoy it for one single second.
Yeah.
That sucks. That fucking sucks.
I remember being excited when he won and being, it was in Savannah. So it was like, I remember being like, yay. And everybody was like, shut up. Like, yeah. They were not happy. And I was like, okay. But
no, that man that I lived with, the one who moved out to live with his twin, who went to Choate Rosemary Hall where John F. Kennedy went.
I used to play them in water polo. It's not a big deal.
Okay, water sports.
Coming out as rich on the pod.
You know, it was the thing. I remember, I don't know if this is an old wives' tale or not, but did water polo people used to like players used to grow their toenails really long so they could scratch each other under the water?
It's definitely something you could do, but yeah. Refs do nail checks on your hands. They don't do it on your toes. More egregious than that was just grabbing bathing suits underwater totally. So that you could, you know, essentially get close to drowning the person. But hey, it's all in the name of sportsmanship, right?
It seems like one of the hardest sports to play. To tread water like that and be throwing something and be like water near. Do you wear goggles?
You don't wear goggles. Oh, you actually Christ. Can't wear goggles because if you got hit with the ball, your eye would pop out.
Oh, fuck.
If you have glasses, you can wear the sort of bigger sports goggles that mm-hmm. don't go right over your socket. But yeah, it's a pretty insane sport. And you have to wear those little caps with the ear protectors.
Yeah.
It's a cup for your ear, essentially. Yeah, but I don't even, oh yeah, as far as clipping nails, it's considered poor form to show up
yeah,
as long nails.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough.
You had to shave your whole body.
No.
This guy, Ryan.
For aerodynamics.
Went to Villanova. He was in my homeroom freshman year and he shaved his whole
body. You love calling out a school. You love talking
he'll
about
never
where
forget
people
a detail.
Are alumni from. It's very New York. It's very New York to be like, where did you go to school?
Yeah, I like to build, connection. I think it's like a quick way to be like, oh well, we know this person and we're the same,
and to be like, oh, I can now tell how either smart you are or how hard you worked, you know what I mean?
Yes.
In
and
high
if
school.
Someone's not doing it, they if someone's not used to that, they have the impression that we're closer than we are, and it's like, oh, I do it with everybody.
Okay, wait, what were we show? You were saying something about Choate.
He literally, so I lived with this guy and he still lived with me when the election happened. They moved out shortly after, I don't think because the election, but he was like Obama Nation, but not like Obama Nation, like abomination. And I was like, wow. Okay, so I live with a bunch of Republicans. Yeah.
But yikes. That's, see, they don't even, that's
he was
like
a Jeb Bush
such a
guy.
Bad slogan because Obama Nation. They're so bad at slogans.
Now they're, yeah, just whatever, go Brandon or whatever. It's like the jokes, it's not his name. I'm confused.
That is the most.
The first time I saw it, I was like, okay, it's a graduation party. It was in Narragansett, Rhode Island.
Yikes.
Let's go Brandon big sign.
Yikes.
That's pretty scary. It's just, I don't understand like why we've regressed so much.
I know. It's a weird, like, I wish that we could zoom out. Like, I wish I could like zoom out and like have some sort of historical context for like what's happening on a like much bigger picture macro scale for like why we're in this right now. Because I'm interested to know like what happened in like the early aughts that like is pushing us into this.
Well, I have this theory about the Civil War, but maybe I won't say it on the pod. I'm just like, so after the Civil War, we were just like, yeah, you guys can vote. Like you guys who just fought a war. So
yeah.
You could, and so now all these descendants of like slave owners who fought to keep their slaves they're like serving in government, like
yeah.
Obviously they're gonna have really really different views.
Yeah.
And maybe we should have just kept things separate.
yeah
we could provide relocation stipends and for people that wanted out of the South.
Yeah.
And then we could, I don't know, it's just, it's crazy to me that we just thought after that like we could figure it out.
I know, it's so hard. It's also like the country is way too big.
I totally agree.
It's like we need to maybe split that up into regions at the least. It just feels
who would be sad about that?
Literally,
who
nobody
would be upset?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think would be a bad thing would be like if the southern governments were more conservative. If there would be so many people there who like can't get out of those situations because
We need a stipend,
being in poverty and stuff. So we'd have to have like some sort of way to like get people. But it's hard.
And I love that we would have New England and we'd have Rhode Island and we'd have all the beautiful
and New York.
We'd have to do winter still, but.
I don't mind. I think the West Coast would be on the liberal side, so we could come and go freely if we wanted to. But yeah, I'm just wondering like what is gonna happen. I guess we'll probably figure it all out in the 200th episode of Boys Club.
Okay, what jars me is that like every possible person could have been offended. It would be like. Trump, he would say something crazy about veterans. And you're like, well, what veteran would be in on this? And he'd be like, no, they found a way. Like the veterans are still in. And that with this time where it's like, I think he just said he wanted like an abortion ban. And it's like, okay, well, what person that knows a woman or like anyone with like who would be into that? And it's like, well, they found a way. And it's like, but you do wonder like maybe like when it comes time to like actually vote, people will not do what is expected. And
I know we also weren't set up for success from the jump of the creation of the United States, obviously for so many reasons, but also that like the most Puritan people came over here, and that is also part of like the fabric of our country, which is unfortunate because they still have a lot of the same fucked up opinions,
and they're sex negative,
super sex negative.
They're not even sex mid, they're negative.
They would not like the cruise.
They wanted that man to be thrown off the boat, where I was actually like, thanks man. Thanks that we want to do that. And also it goes back to the 80s, which I know because when I was on this boat, I said, I miss women. And then I watched a CNN docuseries about the first ladies. And there was a whole one about Nancy Reagan and how they appealed to the moral right, which is still what we are dealing with now.
Reagan sort of fucked us. I won't lie.
Yeah.
And we are still dealing with the effects of that. We're also still dealing with, I mean, I can't talk enough about the Vietnam War documentary that Ken Burns made, but I will say like, as far as dividing our country, I was like, whoa, I didn't know all this. Like it was so divided. And I think it impacted the present day so much more than we're led to believe of like that divisiveness. And so I don't know. I hope this isn't too depressing for the Boys Club listeners. I'm just like, it's so on my mind right now. And I'm wondering what happens. Like I have a visa. I can go to England, but I don't want to leave.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, should we go to Canada? Like what? I mean, I don't know.
There's a lot of land up there.
There's a lot of land. We could really explore. We could really get cold. Wait, I was going to say something about, the Vietnam War. Yeah, I don't know. I started listening to this podcast called Blowback. I recommend it to anybody listening. It's these guys who do like this leftist sort of like history of the first series is about the Iraq War and like what led us to that, and like they just use documents that were available at the time, news from the time, and like anything that was available at the time.
Interesting.
And they do a complete like revisionist history like towards like what was actually going on and like all the players. And I didn't know anything about that. We never learned about it in school. I was a kid when it happened, so like I'm sure you guys feel the same way. And it was really eye-opening, and I feel like especially with what's going on now, it like opened my eye to be like, okay, well this is the same fucking playbook we always do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought with the Vietnam War, like how bad was it that we admit that it was bad? Like that is like one of the only times that
documents came out documents came out that said we literally know we're gonna lose.
Yeah,
it said like the confidence level of winning was just like maybe 20% or something. God. And they still pushed it. I mean, don't get me started on Henry Kissinger, but it's just like, why? Like it was all this fear. And you saw it in Oppenheimer. I mean, after we withheld stuff from Russia about like the atom bomb and whatnot, like that's why tensions got so high. That's why the Cold War happened. Like and Vietnam and like the threat of communism. It's such a fucking mess. I'm like, can we just hit like control, like command A and then just backspace and then we'll start over. We need new like amendments. We need new constitution. It's like, I'm trying to figure out how we could figure this out. It's really hard. I haven't cracked it yet.
We need like a whole fucking new everything. New, like, I think they should just shake it up and just restart.
I agree. Cause I think if we didn't have laws about, we don't need laws about sexuality, sex, or like bodily autonomy.
Yeah.
Like that should all just be not a thing.
I know. They should be helping people figure out, like, honestly, what scares me the most, again, sorry to the boys, this 100th episode is really the, where we're at in the world.
It's the tone.
It's the state vibe of the world.
People what, like us for our literacy.
It's true. They said we're smart. The thing that makes me nervous is that we are moving so quickly with AI and like automation, and like there's so many jobs and industries that are already looking to automate out jobs. And so like the farther we go with that without any legislation or recognition about it, more people are going to lose their jobs. At the same time that we have a very prominent part of the right who is super like right-leaning, super misogynist. There's a lot of really angry men. We have all these incels. And then all these guys, the people that are going to lose their job first are white men. So, and like lower class people. And so it's like we're creating this horrible situation where
these people, all have guns as well.
And they all have guns. And we're creating this horrible cohort of people in this situation. And like the government isn't even looking to help these people out. And they're talking all this shit about like what is trans people and like LGBTQ, this and that and the other. And they're not actually helping any of these guys. And they're just making them angry. And then they're also fucking them over because they're about to all lose their jobs. And there's nothing being done about it. And the government is so old. Like they're just... Like, I love George Tsivaris' joke that he's like, every time they wheel out Mark Zuckerberg, there's one guy who's like, so what's a computer?
Yeah.
It's like that's the vibe. Ugh.
It'll, I guess, like, we just have to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah. Keep telling jokes on gay cruises, I guess.
Yeah. It's all we can do. It's all they'll let us do, really.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's one gay guy that went back to Kansas City and be like, you guys know about these cops? You guys know what these cops are doing out there?
Like, honestly, if so, then that's well worth it.
Yeah, be the change. You did it.
But I'll never come out as a side on stage because I don't want to lose my community. I know they will not support me. They will turn on me so fast.
Are you familiar with sides?
No way.
I don't know.
What side is like a gay guy that doesn't want to have penetrative sex anymore, but is absolutely sex, like obsessed with sex, like love. Everyone should come twice if you can. And then, but like, we're not doing the penetrative sex. Not fun for anybody. Don't want to do it. Don't want to do it. Won't do it.
I think, you know what? I as much as we are regressing, progress is still being made.
Yeah.
In these tiny corners in our biggest cities, people are coming out as whatever they want to be.
Yeah. Wait,
you want to know something?
What?
I talked to someone yesterday. I won't say who it was. It was a photographer. And he was like, oh, on that one show, you talked about people. Well, I asked if he was gay because I've been asking people that lately. And I was like, are you gay?
Lately?
And he said he was. And he's like, well, I'm flexible. But then he said, oh, you talked about being a side one time on a show. And I hadn't known what that was. And then he's like, thought that he might be that. And it was
good
like,
for you.
I'm literally fucking like starting a T-ball
team. Is that you came up with that?
No, I must not have. Like, I'm sure I've never had an original idea. Like, it's not.
When did you hear about that word for the first time?
Because
we've been talking about it, God,
we really
at least
have.
30 episodes.
My mom explained it to a gay guy at her work. Like,
so you are being the change.
My parents know more about it than the like gay people of their generation. Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't know who explained it to me, but like there was some point I was realized that it wasn't a thing we had to do anymore. We could just be sides.
I think you need to popularize this.
I know. I tried to make it funny. There's just nothing funny about it.
Is everything about it funny?
Yeah.
Well, I think some people are like, oh, you're asexual. And I was like, I don't think
that's
so.
Ignorant.
Yeah.
Sorry, your ignorance is showing.
One of our guests said that. And if you want to listen, if you want to give us more listens, you can go figure out who it was.
That's, I would like to know.
I don't.
Record.
That was a long time ago now.
Long time.
That's so true.
Since then, side has become so big, they would never say that.
But I've never heard it. See, it's not making its way. Like, I guess because maybe it is like, but you're almost 30. I mean, not to out you, I feel like I'm like, where is this guy? Because I'm not hearing this. I'm sensing a front-facing camera video from you. Like, I need you to explain it. And you can say you didn't come up with it, but like, this is something people need to know. They're not alone.
Yeah,
I know. But I'm worried that people will, one, it's so vulnerable to like say anything that makes people think about your anus. Like,
totally.
And that's part of it.
That's not vulnerable.
This is a workshop in vulnerability.
That is not vulnerable.
This is BFA acting workshop in vulnerability.
What happened when you walked in? I was sitting here and you said, this feels like an intervention. This is what we're talking about, vulnerability.
Okay, so I should do that. I do feel like no one knows what it is. I think that people are also like, is that
you're gonna get a
clinical problem?
A clinical problem?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, is this like, oh, are you... Is it like a clinical issue that you can have anal sex, or is that you like actually physically just don't want to do it? I think it's so stressful, but I will say to you, one time I dated this guy and my dad said, I don't have to start sentences with, but I will say to you anymore. I dated
this guy. Like that. That's a Connerism.
I know, he can go suck a dick. But he was like, when we were breaking up, he's like, part of it was like, he's like, I just feel like we should be having anal sex because we're gay guys. And I was like, well, do you like it? And he's like, I feel like we should be having it. And it was like, well, that feels like a thing between you and your God.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I'll think about you every day.
There shouldn't be. Sexual preferences are like so to the individual. It's like, yeah. I think it, if we talk more about that stuff and you find your community of sides, like the love of your life could be a side that just doesn't even know it yet. I mean, how beautiful is that?
The way you told me to tell people, you have to record it and then I'll kind of just like play it and then like mouth it where you're like, anal just doesn't do it for me like that. Because I'm always like, I'm a side and it's a problem. And you're like, stop saying that. Just be like, anal doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, put it on him to have to please you.
Like, oh, you like anal? Okay.
You don't have to shame him about it, but you could say that doesn't do it for me. So we're going to have to do something else.
The toxic masculine part of me is like, well, it still has to be a power play. So like, I still have to shame.
Well, that's you have to work through that with your God.
Yeah.
That's the clinical part.
That's the clinical. I was about to say that's the clinical part. I will say, if you do a front-facing video about side sex and explaining it, there will be so many lesbians in the comments being like, lesbians have been doing this forever. Yeah. This is sex.
And you know what? Good for you, gals. Keep up the good work. I'm sorry. If they want to popularize more stuff as their idea, you got to talk about it.
But
you got to post. Write a freaking think piece.
Yeah.
You know the think pieces I'm seeing? Oh, I saw the most hideous phrase online the other day. I don't even want to say it because I don't want people to have to hear it. But now that I know what it is, like, I have to say it. Lesbian bed death.
Oh, my God.
Did
yeah.
you see this post?
I've heard of this.
About how sometimes in lesbian relationships, they'll just stop having sex. Why are you calling it that? Who came up with that? Who was in the fucking brainstorm about lesbian? I thought it was like how like babies sometimes die in their crib. I'm like, these lesbians are dying. It's just like celibacy because you.
I would call that PTO.
We need to work on the branding. Lesbians, this is a call to action. This is a call to arms. I will help you. We have to workshop some of these.
We have
things.
To.
It's not working.
Lesbian bed death. It like stripped from Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Lesbian bed death. Oh, she's passed. It was a case of lesbian bed death.
Yes, no libido left.
No libido.
What do they blame it on?
I think it's just, you know, two gals been together a long time and like maybe they don't, I don't know. Like, libido's down.
Well, makes me nervous with lesbians. This is kind of an open table about everyone bring it forth.
Say more.
Is that I just feel like whenever I say, oh, I'm a side and lesbians also don't have penetrative sex, there's always someone, Jesse, who's like, yes, they do. They do have penetrative. And I'm like, I know, but it's not like totally as much their thing. Sorry. And then I'm like, well, I've offended lesbians. Who's all left on my side?
I think in comedy, we're losing the ability to make generalizations and to not footnote everything. Even in my joke about gay guys in the military, At first I was like, you know, because they're getting railed in the ass, whatever. That's part of it. I added penetrative sex to the follow up. Every time they have penetrative sex, they're getting railed in the ass because I knew people would come for me. Well, sometimes there's sides. We're sides. Visibility for sides. We're not always having. I'm like, okay, yes. And I just want to cut that off at the pass. But I think sometimes like it's fun to just generalize. It's just kind of fun.
Yeah,
yes, they are. That's all they do. All they do is rail. I wish that what you described is a bigger issue.
Connor has talked to every side in the world.
See, I was thinking of you when I wrote that. There are no sides. There are sides. I think, no, you look, you have a huge message here that you need to put out in the world.
Be the prophet.
Guess what? It might not catch on the first time.
Yeah.
But you have to keep fighting for it.
Like you might do a front-facing video and like people will watch it. They won't like it. They won't share it. And like it might flail. And to flail about your anus, that's okay.
But you just have to keep trying until your audience that you're speaking to shows up for you.
Yeah.
Wait, speaking of those things where you're like, oh, you said something. And now I'm actually opening the window, jumping out. Is when I did that one guy that I dated one time that I keep bringing up every episode is he was like, I just want you to know that like, to me, you're successful.
Oh,
I know. And I was like, yeah, to everybody else. Okay.
Why are people putting you through so much? I wonder.
I know. Hard.
People say a lot of shit to you.
I think that if I were, we got to be a bit of a dick. Like, you're not taking nonsense from everybody and you're a little scary. Like, I feel like you got to be a little bit more of a dick.
I know. Yeah. It's good to protect your peace that way. I will say on the joke stuff. I have a joke about dating lesbians and like after coming out as trans and then being like, they probably want to date me.
A total classic.
Thank
by the way.
You. Thank
also,
you.
Also, I heard someone kind of doing your stuff.
What?
We're going to talk about it offline.
Oh my God. Okay. Yes.
Not that joke, but some other really parallel. I saw a lot of parallel thinking.
Okay. Okay.
You're a journalist.
Here's what people don't know about me. I'm literally always listening. I'm always remembering, and I'm repeating.
You could put you in that room where they ask that redhead questions, the White House press like, office, and like you would fit in.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, and guess what? I have a lot of questions.
I also think you would be good at fielding the questions and being like, we're actually not going to answer that.
I look forward to the opportunity. I look forward to being the White House press secretary. That's sort of why I started being a comedian.
If they do a West Wing reboot, you are Allison Janney.
I need to either work in government or be in a show about government.
Probably
but
that
it
one.
Hasn't happened yeah. yet. We're well, still waiting. We're waiting for the call.
We have an okay, but I have noticed recently when I've been doing that joke, especially if there's like a lot of, where was I recently where there was a lot of lesbians? Oh, it was like a queer show. And I did that joke because it often does well. And I'm just like, I was like going to close on it. And they just did not have it with me. And I was like, first of all, by nature, this form of comedy, like stand-up, is reductive. So, like, can we just relax with all the specific, like, whatever? And it's also, it's a joke.
And it's a rinse on yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like also, you know, I have a lot of love and empathy and compassion for the lesbian community. I feel like they don't get celebrated nearly as much as gay guys do.
Yeah.
I want to celebrate them.
Yeah.
Like they're doing a lot of hard work. I think we need some, we need to work on the transphobia in the lesbian community, but yeah. that will come.
Yeah. One of my favorite jokes I heard recently about lesbians was Michelle Wolf's most recent special that she has on Netflix. She has like a whole like runner about gay guys and lesbians. And like, she has this great thing about like, if we befriended lesbians instead of gay men, meaning straight women, she would be like, we would just be like, we know how to build a society now. But instead we found a guy who's like, I like him because he's mean to me in a different way.
Yes. No, that is unfortunately true. And
yeah.
one day we'll put our differences aside and we'll be able to come together, I think. And then we'll be unstoppable, but not yet.
Not yet. Not yet. I was going to ask you something else about sides.
I'm the guy to ask.
Did you do any material about sides on the cruise?
No, because one, I can't make it. I haven't figured out how to make it funny. And then two, I earnestly do believe. You remember when you posted that you had a girlfriend on Instagram and people kind of left you?
They yeah, I flocked? Did lose hundreds of followers.
I believe that when I post that I'm actually a side, the old guys in my DMs will flock.
Yeah.
But those are people that you don't need.
True.
Like you think you need them, but you don't. That aren't going to support you through having a girlfriend or coming out as a side, like that's nothing. They're nobody.
I agree. Yeah. I said the same thing to Maddie because she was like, you don't have to post me. And I was like, I don't want people who don't want me to have fun and have love in my life. Why would I want that? I want people to come sit in places and laugh at my jokes. I don't want them to come fuck me. Like, that's not what I'm putting out there.
I hope tickets to be bought is the issue. Yes. It becomes a capitalist problem. That's where the government should fund comedy.
But you know what? You come out as a side, you're going to get a whole bunch of sides following you who want to see your jokes.
That's
and they want to support you because they say, oh my God, there's someone that's speaking for me. It's like, I have a lot of like brunette bi girls that follow me. And it's like, I love that because I can be a voice for them.
Yeah.
Nice. It's really nice.
You know, they're not going to be so busy having anal sex, so they'll have time to come to shows.
Exactly. They're not douching at home. They're not, they're eating throughout the day.
Yeah, they're having a full meal. Nobody's passing out at your shows.
Hell no.
I was in line
for... They're fed.
I was in line for a salad on this boat, and this guy behind me was talking to this other guy, and they were talking about sex, and one of them, I think, had just gotten into like bottoming, and he said, so-and-so taught me how to douche, and then he literally said, does it always take 45 minutes? And I wanted to be like, yes, it always does. It always will take 45 minutes.
It's time consuming.
Yes.
Time consuming. Yeah, I worry any boat that is just mostly men on it doesn't matter the sexuality. That's going to be a bad recipe.
That's going to be it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I told you that I had this realization where I don't think I actually have internalized homophobia. I just
at
don't
all clean,
like men.
Fully clean of it.
Okay. Like I have a little, like who wouldn't have a little if you met a gay guy, like, I have a little bit, but like, I feel like it's actually more of like a gender thing in general. Like,
yeah.
Like a room of men has always been, women always made me feel safe. A room of men, and I went to an all-boys Catholic high school, has always been like, and I went to the Grizzly Bear, has always been kind of like, what's this going to
well,
be?
Well, that's the scariest place on earth.
Yes.
There's nothing inviting about the Grizzly Bear. It is dark. It smells like beer. It's just some of the most horrible men you've ever heard saying some of the worst things you've ever heard.
You know,
I'll
know that I've made it, when I walk around the corner onto McDougal and people don't say yes. to me, comedy show tonight, have some fucking respect.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, don't bark me in
don't
here.
Don't talk to me. Yeah. First of all, I'm a comedian. I'm not coming to that. Second of all, I'm a lady.
Yeah.
And third of all, just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Have you seen Les Mis?
No.
Never mind. Half of it is just spoilers. Like French beggars that are like, at the end of the day, you're another day older. It literally is like, you like these people are French. Like
less than a year ago, somebody sent me a Facebook message saying, hey, we're opening a new, like I'm doing some new show at the Grizzly Pear Midtown. Didn't know they'd expanded.
There's one here, no?
I don't know. And then was like, do you want to come bark for spots? This was like less than a year ago. I was like, no, I'm not coming to bark for spots. No. Wait, shade. I'm just like, I don't need to for that place. No.
No, you know what? It's crazy. I've seen some really shocking stuff happening on stand-up stages the past year.
Yeah.
So again, I feel like it's a reflection of the cultural tone right now, but I don't know why people are saying some of the things that they're saying.
Yeah, really emboldened to say whatever the fuck they want.
It is not just men either.
No. I've heard some of the most homophobic things said from, I mean, I get men and women alike, but like there have been some really like turfy, like, I don't know. I feel like you've maybe seen that too. Like,
why, you want me to name them?
No, I don't mean to name them.
I'll name
them
right now.
Yeah. Well, tell me when we were done recording.
And some of them are hella successful. But yeah.
Big followings and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I need the tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll tell you offline.
After. Yeah.
And I think it's just worse because I always look them up. And then I'm like, well, I'm helping the algorithm make them
successful. I know.
Remember when I screenshotted something for you and I was like, I can't share this with you, but I'm going to send it into a picture.
Yeah, that's good of you. Yes. See, again, acts of resistance.
Yes.
You have to resist. You have to resist.
It's important.
Yeah, I know. At them needs to expose.
How to be a real ally.
It's all about screenshotting.
No more shares. Do you ever notice on the Boys Club account that I'm sharing my reels to Boys Club and then sharing them back and then sharing them back?
You have to. We have to boost.
It's an ecosystem, darling.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the way that the algorithm works is if you feed it, it will feed you.
My mom's whole Instagram, she doesn't even have a picture. Like, it's just like, there's no one, I don't know who follows her, but she only shares my reels. So if she has a story, it's her son being like, when I came out to my dad every single time.
I like that.
I told her that's what she can do to help.
Moms like that will change the world.
Yeah.
I think so too.
It's really important.
That. Yeah.
Did we talk enough about the boy? I forget how it works. Do we have to talk about the Boys Club more, or we just talk about it?
Oh, we could talk about whatever.
No, we don't have to. I just want to make sure that the people, because we've talked about so much depressing stuff.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that.
Well, restaurant. Have you worked in a restaurant?
I did one shift.
You were a host.
I was a cocktail waitress for one shift.
Where?
And then it was a mutual breakup. It wasn't a good fit. It was at 11 Madison Park.
That's me at Flywheel. I did one shift. I didn't even get paid for it, but it's
I didn't
okay.
get paid either. I said, you know what? Let's do a clean break. Don't put my social security number in your system. We're good. We're so fine.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to send my dad back a W-9 from this. It's like, don't complicate my taxes.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a good fit. But I think it's just, I'm not, like, I've worked in hospitality. I've worked in retail, but it's not the right job for me.
It's so stressful. Restaurants are so hectic, which I think is where some of that like toxic masculinity comes from, is somebody just gets in there and it's like, I'm going to bark orders and that's the way this has to be. And it's like, this also could just be like,
it could just be like fun,
more
and
streamlined,
nice.
And then everybody could be nice to each other.
Also, I assumed that you get to eat the food. Like, I assumed that they like let you get food from the menu, and it's like, no, you have like family meal, which at a big place like 11 Madison Park is like, it's not, you know, it's not like foie gras and fucking whatever. Like,
Googling that
Wagyu beef. So I was like, oh, this is not what I thought it was.
Yeah. It's not as romantic as they make
it
seem.
It's really not.
Yeah.
And maybe in some restaurants, not in the one, I mean, beautiful, beautiful spot, by the way. And they really, really prioritize hospitality, but it just wasn't for me. It just wasn't a good fit.
Yeah. You worked as a host.
I worked as a host for a summer. And I was
with a limp.
I had a limp because I drank a whole bottle of cough syrup because I was trying to get sober because everyone took alcohol from me. And this was like kind of my rock bottom. So I took the cough syrup. Couldn't come for a week. Still to this day, whenever I have, if I'm taking cough syrup, I want you to know that I'm not ejaculating for a week. I'm sorry. But like, it still fucks with my nervous system in some weird way.
That is fascinating.
That's when you became a side.
I know. Well, that
your
actually.
Side origin story.
That's reductive because sides come bucket.
I want to say to all the sides listening, it was just a little joke. I didn't mean
sides,
it.
Besides, we have to have a sense of humor.
There's gonna
you have to have a sense of humor.
There's gonna be a cough syrup campaign in like or PSA that's like, did you take cough syrup between 1995 and 2007?
It's a class action lawsuit. You win 97 cents.
If a man cheats on you, put cough syrup in his milk. He will not come.
Do not do that, do that to don't anyone.
Also, wait, I did work in catering. My neighbor and close family friend owned a catering business. So I did cater some events and stuff. That was fun. That was more like social.
Nice. Yeah.
More social.
That's run by a woman.
100%.
Yeah. That's run by a woman in one of those long skirts.
That kind of has like a slit. You know what? It was so pleasant.
Yeah. I bet.
The food was ready when we got there.
There's a white canopy tent and you're walking on grass. There's a dog.
Everything was like presented. It just felt very easy.
Popcorn chicken. That's fun.
Yeah. Did you ever do anything other than host?
At the restaurant?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't qualified for anything else. But it's weird to, because you were so powerful.
You're the face of the restaurant.
And it was the summer that Ed Sheeran's A-Team came out, because it reminded me of one of the girls I worked with, Doreen.
Wow, that's dark. Is she okay?
I really don't know.
Did they play it at the restaurant, or you just remember it sort of being in the air?
I loved a song because it was about addiction, and I was like doing that at the time, and it was also Doreen.
So was Doreen like also 15?
No, she's got had to be 65.
I was gonna say, because that's not a young name.
She was really old.
They haven't named anybody Doreen in some time.
In a while. She was super old.
Yes.
Sending love though.
I know, sending love to Doreen. And then someone got fired for stealing money. And I was working with this girl who lives in LA now. Remember my one friend that I kept in touch with?
Yeah. Where'd she go to school?
Penn. She went to University of Penn, Springside. Do you know Spring? Really?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Springside CHA. Okay. But I'm from Philly, though, so you might not know it.
I know Philly. I've been there. Yeah.
So. Go Flyers.
It's a place you go to one time.
They have five sports teams or something.
Yeah, they have a lot.
They have like the most.
To keep them busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to have something to do there.
I know.
Kenzie described it as the Florida of the North.
No, it is. Lucy Dacus lived there for like 1 minute, and that was like the coolest thing that ever happened to anybody. One time Reese Witherspoon like filmed something there, and everyone's like, and here's where she went for a beet salad, and here's where she went for this. And it's like, we live in New York. We can't keep track of that.
No.
Other than that bear shirt. But other than that,
yeah. Like, no. Yeah. Yeah. I never worked in a restaurant. I always did childcare as my like income.
That's nice.
Yeah. I did that. It's honest fucking work.
Yeah. No, and I know it. I mean, coaching these kids, I'm back this week coaching, and it's like I'm already over it. One day and I'm already over it. It's not even really the kids, it's the parents and the nannies. Mm. Because this is the worst part about the first day of work is, I'm sure you have this for newcomers too who come to your class for the first time. They act like it's all about them having their first day and not like everybody else has been here before.
I disavow them of that illusion quickly.
And they step like right in the way. Like I had so many parents yesterday, we're like in the middle of practice, like walk up to me. Like imagine you're doing your job and somebody just kind of walks up to you and just like, hey, do you know where Micah's supposed to be? I'm like, how old is Micah? What's like, where is he supposed to go? Who's his coach? Do you know any other information? Like I'm talking to these kids right now. Like
I'm coaching.
Yeah, I'm doing my damn job. But they don't look at it that way, so.
I want to come, and then you'd be like the coach, and I'd be on the sidelines, and I'd be like Hayden Panettiere in Remember the Titans. I'd be like, come on, coach. Come on, coach. That'd be so fun.
What a great movie. Great flick.
Great movie.
To see it. I'll never forget. It was one of the things we did together.
Never forget.
Yeah. You've never seen that movie, which is crazy because I feel like it's like your vibe.
I haven't seen Remember the Titans. I don't think. Who's in that other than Hayden Panettiere?
Men.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys
in it.
It's guy heavy.
Is that why it's my vibe?
Well, it's a football movie.
Wait.
I don't want to speak out of turn, but I want to say Denzel Washington's in it, but I am going to just confirm.
We were in the same place because I was thinking that.
Because I think it's
like, I'm not going to be wrong on the podcast.
No, I know. How fucking embarrassing would that be? It's Denzel. It's going to be Denzel. And you know what? This was in Denzel's fucking heyday.
Yeah, he was
Denzel
really.
Denzel could do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Totally fabulous career. And you know what? I want to see him in more stuff.
Yeah, where is he now? I feel Ryan like he hasn't Gosling, been anything in a while.
Isn't it? Swear to God, cross my heart, wish I was dead.
Is he really? Then I'll watch it immediately.
He's in it.
I'm obsessed with him.
He's a supporting character.
He's a football player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you, Kate Bosworth is also in it.
Wow.
Huge. And some other people that you will certainly recognize. Donald Faison. Will Patton is like the other coach who you'll definitely recognize from stuff. But anyway, I'm just reading the IMDb at this point. Is this interesting? Probably.
Hello, Jack. What you said about restaurants remind me of Below Deck because there's a chef on that, and like a lot of that them is that just like running through the kitchen on a cruise ship. Do you watch that show?
I don't watch Bravo. Isn't that crazy?
No, I think that's healthy. I got really into it by accident. I didn't mean to, and it kind of and honestly uprooted my. It's
I mean
it
it's all about to
life.
Come crashing down. Apparently,
I hope it does because I can't like.
Oh,
I,
Bravo.
Well, I like all the housewives are like suing Andy Cohen and stuff, and they were like we were just talking to Dave Mazzoni was on our last episode, and he was like I think it's about to be like. Too much of a hassle to keep going, and they'll just do like spinoffs that are like you know, one housewife gets a TV show kind of thing instead of like them all being together because it's just like too much drama.
I think we, maybe that's part of healing.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like, and not to again get too deep, but I think housewife culture is making it, I don't know if it's good for society. I think it makes everyone feel like they're in a reality show. And so they're like yelling at people all the time.
Yeah.
And like flipping tables and like being mean. And it's like, you're not in a reality show. And these people are your peers and they're your friends and your family. And you need to chill. You need to calm down. And also don't embezzle money or do. I don't know.
Wait, I said that to someone on this podcast. I said, do you think that that makes, and I might have framed it as, do you think that makes gay men meaner? And I think they said no because they can separate the two. Who was that? It was on this couch.
I don't remember.
Some gay guy tried to tell me I was wrong. And then it was like, well, I got a woman on deck.
I also don't, I don't think people are good at separating things in general.
I don't need that. I don't know. I don't think it's something we can always control. Like, I mean, I also think that like the way that we all have access to like our phones, and like I was just talking about this with Maddie last night. My parents always made fun of me when I was a kid because every time we would get the camcorder out to like do anything, I was always like having to be like right in the way or like putting on a show for it. And I was like, and whatever, obviously like clearly wanted the attention, but at the same time I'm like, we didn't have the camera out every, when I was like six, it was like this was every once in a while we would bust out the camera.
Special
this
occasion.
Is a big occasion. And now it's like everybody is trained to be on camera all the time, even if you're not like a front facing like person or like anything, like you kind of are. And like, you know, even kids like are, have a camera shoved in their face from like when they're a baby.
Yeah, so like I think all the time,
I think that like people, and like with things going viral online, I think people just have like a way different like relationship to their self as like somebody who exists in the world for like these like attention seeking moments. I don't know, it's very dark.
I know. And I think we will reach I do believe that we will reach a point of like saturation where it just can't keep going up and up and up and up and up.
Yeah,
like I think there will be kickback, or there will be a movement towards like having, you know, no phone time and stuff like that. I agree. I was at when I was at Fallon last week, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna make some TikToks, BTS, do like a, you know, a transition video of like before I had my hair and makeup and then after. And then I said, what if I just didn't do that? What if I just enjoyed the process,
yeah,
and I just experienced it, and then I have footage of the set and some photos. But I had all this pressure on myself, like, oh, make some content out of this. And I was like, wait, no, the experience itself is the important thing,
yeah,
and the fun part for me, not to then try to churn out stuff that, let's be honest, if it doesn't do well, will make me depressed.
Yeah.
So that was a huge act of resistance.
Yeah, it's so hard though, because like we are made to feel that like you have to really use every like juice. Get
every
all the juice
golden
out.
Hour.
Yeah, like get all the juice out of the squeeze, and like you have to like do everything you can.
I almost missed
can.
The train yesterday trying to take a picture in golden hour. That was
did you get the shot?
No, I didn't get it.
How demoralizing is it when you don't get the shot?
And you're like, why did I almost literally miss the train? I'm standing here. People are like watching me dehumanize.
And now
myself.
I have 12 bad pictures on my phone.
But yeah. I'll never delete. And I'll be like, what do you mean my storage is full? It's like, well, you have 30,000 pictures of a sunset.
Oh my God. Sid Washington's story about her phone storage being full was like one of the funniest things ever.
Well, phone storage literacy is at an all-time low,
yeah,
myself included. I'm like, I'm just adding more iCloud. I don't know what it means. Yeah. I know I'm getting charged $10 a month, but someone...
That's a lot.
It's
like storage.
You know how Uber, every time you order one, offers you like the membership?
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me what it is.
Yes.
Tell me the terms of this membership. I'm not going to save 47 cents to get a membership.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. What do I get with Uber One?
What are you talking? And what is iCloud storage? Why do I have gigabytes on my phone, but then it's on the cloud? But then if I want to open something when I'm on the subway, it has to download. I need it to be explained. I don't even know if the people at Apple know how it works.
Yeah. And I don't think it's the most efficient way. I think it's the best way they can like sell us shit. Like, I mean, it's the same thing with like flights these days. It's like, why am I paying $50 to sit in row 11? $50 extra to pick a seat. And it's like, since when are we excited about row 11?
Because when I went to Puerto Rico, I sat in the middle between two men, and both of them, and then I kind of was,
were
like,
they both going to the cruise?
No. And that, you're right. You're right. Cause I'm so hard on gay people, but they were both straight men, I've decided. And then they were like, when you're gay, you're like, I know I'm in the middle and I don't need all of this space necessarily, but like, I'm going to take it cause I'm gay and you can't take this from me.
Totally.
So the whole time I'd be like, and then like, cause they were trying to like infringe on my space. And then I was like, but it would have been $30 if I had taken like the window seat. And I was like, I will absolutely pay for window on the way back. But I was granted it by God. So it was fine.
It's crazy though. They'll find anything to sell us these days.
I know. Well, the worst people in marketing are the people that run loyalty programs. That's not hot. That's boring. Not sexy of a job, but they're like very powerful people that are paid a lot.
Well, yeah. Also explain how the program, like what am I gaining from it? You know what
the
I mean?
The Uber one is so weird because it's like, I have read the terms and conditions.
What is it?
You can go from one place to another place, but it's only like one location. So like you're saving money, but when you go to this, it's for people that go to work every day. We said it like it was a great
story. Okay, you can set like a route that you take a lot, yes. And that's always free.
That's the member program.
But it's not free. It's not always free.
No, it's not free. Oh, for sure, no. Oh. You just save money on it.
Oh, well, fuck
it's
that.
It's never free. Nothing's ever been free.
No, nothing's ever been free. You're so right.
But like, but also, you know who said that? Ed Sheeran said the worst things in life come free to us. He said that on the A-Team.
That's kind of interesting.
Shout out
I hadn't thought about it like that.
And I knew he was going to be fucking huge.
Shout out to
Deanne. I always expect the worst.
I love that Uber was just like, we're just not doing a loyalty program. Like, sorry, it's just, we're not. And you're going to fucking use it all the time and we don't care.
Yeah. And there should be something that's like, don't ask me again on this device. I don't want to
literally
at least message me the goddamn thing, because I have never heard that explained to me, not one time, and I use Uber a lot.
Yeah. Watch you leave the room, you read the terms and conditions, you're like, that gay guy lied to me.
That gay guy was so off-base, and I call you that gay guy. I text Nico after this, just so you know, that gay guy was so wrong about the Uber loyalty program.
She's making a response video. Yes, sides aren't real, actually.
This is a conspiracy theorist. Sides are not real. He is asexual. He is an abomination.
Well, sometimes I wonder if I'm... I worry that I'm... not worry, sorry, if people are A, but whatever. That's amazing. Whatever. Delete that. But okay. Like, I do... You always... Whenever I would do mushrooms, I'd be like, am I non-binary? And it's like, no, I really don't think you are. You aren't this thing. Like, you're trying to make yourself this thing and you're not. And like, just be you. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's
hard. Gender is a... I mean, gender is a myth and life is a prison.
I know.
I've said
but
it before.
When you said that gay guy, I just really... I got really into Twitter porn when I was on the cruise because porn was outlawed, which is like kind of putting me in an unsafe position, because if you want sex, you have to go find it on the
Why
deck.
Why was it outlawed?
You couldn't watch porn on this.
They want guys to have fun on the boat.
I know.
Literally, on the Wi-Fi, there was, and you're in the middle of nowhere. You're in the middle of the Caribbean.
Little
Sea.
Did they know they were all just watching my special instead.
I was on the deck. I was watching yours. I was laughing. My favorite joke, and we'll cut it because it's your joke. When you say, I knew he was gay because his homilies were always about himself.
Oh yeah, and I was like, you don't have to cut that. That is one of my. And you know, looking back, I was like, I can't believe he betrayed the church like that. Now I'm like, God, that's awesome.
Wait, that's me telling awesome. You that would be like running into Taylor Swift and being like, I love Bad Blood. Like,
but people do that. Are you kidding? So that's right. That's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Also, when you say a joke that someone actually can like internalize a little bit, like they heard it and they remembered it. That's like, because you know when people like botched your jokes telling them back to you, which is still flattering because it's like it obviously like it made an impression on you because you remember the topic. But sometimes it's like they're saying it so wrong, but I'm not going to start saying it right.
Yeah,
because that's even weirder.
Yeah,
and then sometimes you're like, oh my God, I've been so unclear. I didn't realize how people were perceiving this show.
I will say when jokes are layered, you can get a lot of misinterpretations. It's like It's like the Bible. It's like, but just ask me. That's the difference. The people that wrote the Bible are not here.
Yeah.
But if you want any clarification, just ask me.
Yeah.
Because I know what the intention was.
Go to the source. Get the firsthand information.
For the love of God.
Yeah.
Please.
Thank God. Mary Beth, thank you so much for being our 100th guest. We appreciate you so much. We loved having you here. Do you want to plug your special one more time or anything you got?
You can find my special on YouTube. It's www.youtube.com. You can search Mary Beth Barone Thought Provoking, and it's 40 minutes. Enjoy it. You can watch it in one sitting, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know your life. But I hope you love it. And that's it. You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok, I guess, too. And then I'm performing a lot in New York right now. So you could find that in my tagged photos where I'll be.
Amazing. All right. You ready to get out of here on a smooch? 1, 2, 3. What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, Conor. Janda is Panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, NicoCarney. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month. And it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast. So come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.